Thanks for coming up there. Appreciate that. Okay, so yesterday was a great day for me because 6 weeks ago I had a heart attack. And there were so many people that prayed for me, I didn't have a chance to go to heaven. So I couldn't drive for a month. And so yesterday was a week anniversary of when I could actually drive. Was it yesterday? A week ago, yeah. A week ago yesterday. And so yesterday, what a great day it was to be able to take my wife for breakfast again. And she didn't have to worry about doing the driving. Well, before we begin, I'd like to pray. Father God, I have absolutely nothing to say unless your Spirit speaks through me. And speaks through me from the Word of God about your great and glorious plan for us. So God, I'm just asking that whatever thoughts we can share together today, we will take them to our hearts and that we will apply them in our lives. In Jesus' name. I wonder whether we have become fairly good at speaking untruth to each other. You say, this guy's calling me a liar right off the bat here. I'm not even going to listen for the rest of this message. Hey, listen. If somebody says to you, and this morning we were encouraged to be friendly to each other, but if somebody says to you, hey, how are you doing? Oh, fine, just great. Just yesterday your house burned down. Week before that, you lost a loved one. The week before that, you got terrible news from the doctor. But if somebody comes up to us, aren't we so good at doing that? Oh, just great. Oh, I'm doing so fine. And I've gotten to the place, actually, where somebody walks by me and says, hi, how are you? I don't even answer. Because they're not expecting an answer. But if somebody says to you, hey, how are you really doing? How would you answer? And I read about Chuck Swindoll shares this little story. He was picked up by a prominent Christian educator at an airport. And he asked, hey, how are you doing? And this was his answer. How am I doing? Growing and learning is the answer. Growing and learning. I used to say, great, fantastic. Every time somebody asked me that, you know, the super positive, everything is terrific response. Not anymore, Chuck. I'm growing and I'm learning, but frankly, I'm not always on top doing great. I think you can relate to that, right? It's a pretty good chance that this week, not everything went the way you thought it was going to go. It's a pretty good chance that this week, there was some stuff that came into your life that you would rather it not have come into your life. And so, are you fantastic or are you growing and learning? I want you to mark this next statement in your mental notebooks. The Christian life is not always lived on the mountaintop. There are more growing and learning days than great and fantastic days. What should our response be to the challenges that come to our Christian lives? And it's one word, perseverance. Which is sticking to a purpose or aim, never giving up what one has set out to do. And if you became a Christian and invited Christ into your life, you set out to become more Christ-like. You set out to become more obedient to the things he has in his word. You set out to be more victorious in your Christian life. And perseverance with God's help in God's word or through God's word is what helps you to keep growing and growing and learning. There was a little 8-year-old kid named Frankie. He had been pestering his dad for a watch. And after the 17th time, his father finally said, Frankie, I don't want to hear any more about you wanting a watch. At dinner that night, each member of the family gave a scripture verse. And when it was Frankie's turn, he said, my verse is Mark 13:37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Spurgeon said this, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." I got this poem that I found. It's called "Don't Quit." When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver that of the clouds of doubt, and you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. The man who once most wisely said, "Be sure you're right, then go ahead," might as well have added this, "Be sure you're wrong before you quit." Perseverance in the Christian life is a process that is sometimes painful, it's often slow, and sometimes seemingly unbearable. Sometimes you just go through those weeks and you sort of think, "I don't know how I'm going to go through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this next week." And we need to recognize that perseverance in God's faithful word is always going to pay dividends in the end. So this message this morning is a message of encouragement and hope. With God's help, we can persevere through the crushing blows of life without despairing and giving up. God's abundance overshadows the low tides of our lives. You know, Paul, the author of this book that we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he also wrote this, chapter 11, verses 23 to 31. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in debts often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying." Here's a guy who wrote a third of the New Testament and said, "You want to know what troubles are? Here's a few that I've gone through. Can you relate to them at all?" he says. So this little poem might help us kind of with this business of perseverance. "Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use?" croaked number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, and world, sad world," and weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. The while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. "I'll swim a while, at least," he said, or so I've heard it, he said. "It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead." An hour or two, he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked, then hopped out by a butter. That's perseverance, right? So there are 4 common misconceptions about the Christian life that I want to share with you. Things that we sort of have taken on as, this is really the way it is. The first one is, because you are a Christian, all your problems are solved. Maybe somebody told you when you came to faith in Christ, if you come to Jesus, all your problems are going to be gone. Nothing could be farther from the truth than that. In fact, Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. Not you might. You will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that's the first misconception that I want to share, is because you're a Christian, all your problems are solved. Here's the second one. All the problems you will ever have are addressed in the Bible. You probably heard people say that. There's an answer for every one of your situations addressed in the Bible. Maybe not directly from the Bible. There are many times when we don't find a specific answer for a particular concern, and at such times we're forced to walk by faith, trusting the Lord to show us the next step as it is needed. Often there's a principle in the Bible that will relate to your situation, but often we don't find it directly spoken to from the Bible. So, that's another misconception, that all the problems you'll ever have are addressed in the Bible. Here's a third one. If you're having problems, you're unspiritual. Having a problem simply proves that you are human. Job didn't have an answer to his suffering, and he was a godly man. And by the way, at the end of the book of Job, God never did answer the why question. Job was just a faithful man who persevered. And the fourth misconception is that being exposed to sound Bible teaching automatically solves your problems. In other words, no matter how reliable the teaching or how gifted the teacher, the declaration of truth does not provide the removal of difficulties. You're getting a new pastor. I understand he's really a fine man. But just hearing him speak the word of God isn't going to solve all your difficulties. So we think of scriptures as a roadmap. It tells you how to get to a destination. But just looking at the map won't get you to your destination. Getting there means you have to make the effort. You have to pay the cost. You have to take time to travel and stick with it until you arrive at your destination. So too in the Christian life, God's map is reliable and available, but there's no hocus pocus in its pages that automatically help fix our difficulties. However, there is persevering commitment to its principles all the days of our lives. Well, so what is Christian maturity? Is the second point there in your notes. What really is Christian maturity? Well, we need to remind ourselves of what God says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Talking about people who have confessed their sins to Jesus Christ, have walked in faith for many, many years, and even though they should be growing and developing in their Christian lives, they're still drinking baby food. They're not applying what they've been hearing. And so for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, what he's saying is, folks, there comes a time when we have to start applying the things that we've heard from the scriptures and acting on them. In God's family, we are born into it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At first, as spiritual babes, we're fragile, irresponsible, milk-drinking infants who lack discernment and strengths. But as time passes, we should begin to grow up spiritually. As our Father observes our maturity, it pleases him. He sees our resiliency, our responsibility, our enlarged diet, our increased discernment, our sensitivity to him and our strength, and it delights him. But How long can we keep going and saying, oh, you know, at a testimony time, I accepted Jesus as my Savior 45 years ago and he hasn't left me since. Well, what have you done for him since? What have you done in your Christian life to exercise obedience and to exercise perseverance in growing to be more Christ-like? It was not that the Hebrews hadn't heard. It was that they had not obeyed. They had heard sounds in their ears, but they had become hard of listening, dull of hearing. What is a sign of maturity? Practicing what you hear. Though practice, through practice, you become more mature. You see, it's only one thing to grow old in the Lord, but it's another thing to grow up in the Lord. There are many people cruising from church to church. And sad to say, so many people are just church hopping because you got to find some place that tickles your ears, and so we go from church to church to church hoping that somebody's going to do something for us and going to, it's all about us. Well, if I don't like his teaching, I'll go somewhere else. How many times do we go to Bible conferences and go from church to church filling notebook after notebook, wearing out Bible after Bible, who are still some of the crankiest, fussiest, most irresponsible people you meet? Why? Because they do not practice the things they hear. James told us very clearly, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. Folks, when's the last time this book so spoke to your heart, you said, I've got to change. I've got to make a decision about this. I've got to act in obedience about this. I've got to quit some of these things that are weighing me down, like the book of Hebrews says, leaving those things which weigh us down and the sin which so easily besets us. When was the last time we deliberately, by an act of faith, said, God, you have just spoken to me through your word. I'm going to do something about it today. You can be a Christian for years and years and years and be an immature Christian because you're simply not obeying the word. And you're not taking the steps by faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you for this. Maybe it's maybe you got a financial need and you're just really complaining about your finances instead of saying, God, you wrote this. And I remember doing that to God one time. I was having a really serious financial need, and I was reading Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And I remember saying, God, you wrote this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I said, no sense both of us sleeping tonight, or no sense both of us staying awake tonight. I'm going to go to sleep because I know you're going to be there for me. And how God just said, he is faithful to provide for me. And I went out on a limb and I said, God, I'm trusting you. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you just said, God, you just showed me through your word that what I've been doing is sin, and I need to deal with this sin in my life so that I can have victory in my life? When's the last time you did that? So, we don't practice the things we hear. We hear and absorb biblical truth and then allow that truth to pervade our inner lives, do we? Deep down where attitudes are formed, decisions made, then as circumstances of life arrive that are not pleasant, the Holy Spirit has sufficient ammunition to give us stability and the power to cope. So when irritations come, obey God and carry out his word in dealing with them. When temptations come, apply principles of Scripture that help you face them victorious. When the sins of the flesh arise, apply the truths that you have been taught. Suppose a person hears a doctor's diagnosis of a rapidly grown tumor and then thinks that just because he talked to the doctor, the growth would suddenly disappear. Biblical truth won't make us mature without application. There's no such thing as instant maturity. It's persevering. Christian growth comes through hardcore perseverance of applying what you hear and obeying it and learning how to deal with life's tough stuff. There are more growing and learning days, I'm pretty sure you'll agree with this, than great fantastic ones. A little brown cork fell in the path of a whale, who lashed it down with his angry tail, but in spite of its blows, it quickly arose and floated serenely before his nose. Said the cork to the whale, "You may flap and sputter and frown, but you never, never keep me down. For I'm made of the stuff that is buoyant enough to float instead of to drown." How are you doing in your Christian life? Are you persevering? And we persevere because, we go to our passage of scripture that was read to us. Number one, because God has entrusted us with his gospel. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Why? How do we persevere? Why do we persevere? Because God has entrusted us with his gospel. Secondly, God wants to demonstrate his power through us. Verses 6 and 7. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, not only does God want to demonstrate his power through us because he has entrusted us with the gospel, but thirdly, struggles and trials are not unique to us. Somebody else has experienced it before and will experience it again. Look at verses 8 to 11 again. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in the body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Somebody else has already experienced what you have. And certainly Paul experienced virtually everything that could be experienced in his walk of faith. And then fourthly, we persevere because we have the hope and the promise of ultimate victory. We have the hope and the promise of ultimate victory. It's all going to get better someday. Really better. Verses 16 to 18, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Verse 1, therefore, we do not lose heart. How are you doing in your Christian walk? Are you feeling discouraged because there's not a lot of growth happening in your lives? Are you feeling like, man, your life has kicked you in the teeth and you just don't know how to get through this thing? You keep trusting and walking. Don't lose hope, because the best is yet to come. Just in reflection then, maybe your Christian life isn't fantastic, but here's the question. Are you persevering by growing and learning? Let's pray. Father, would you just take these few words and bring encouragement to these people to realize that not every day is a fantastic day. Sometimes we just feel like we just want to give up because so many things have happened to us. But we pray, Father, that you will encourage these people to show them that we can persevere in the power of your Holy Spirit and according to the truth of your word, and we can be people who are people of victory and people who do not lose heart. So thank you, Father, for our time together. In Jesus' name.